is he going to play the fart sound effect? You goddamn right I am. Hey, everybody. It is me, your boy. Oh, no. Get out of here, Ween. No, I don't want you over here. Go away. You dogs are bad. Both of you are bad. Go away. Go. There you go. You're under the blanket. You're fine now. It's me, your boy, Stu McAllister. With me, as always, are the dogs. I got Ween Dog trying to get me. I've put her under the blanket. She's happy. She loves the blanket. There you go. Say Dog's in the cage. She took shit on the floor. She took shit right in front of me. She's like, oh, now I'm going to take a shit. Now, the problem with Sadie taking a shit is because she's got her back legs are not great, right? She's old, fucking haggard, whatever. And so she's kind of like hunched over in the back all the time anyway. So it always kind of looks like she's taking a shit. So I'm never really sure she's taking a shit. And then today I was like, oh, fuck, you're taking a shit. And she took a shit. What are you going to do? No idea where the cats are. No idea. They are probably upstairs shitting on my bed. It's a shit-a-thon in my house. Fucking shit-a-shit-a-shit-a-thon. But how was your day, everybody? How was your day? Was it good? Was it fun? Was it exciting? Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Becky. I hope it was. Why? Because today is Monday, March 4th, 2020. Quattro. Hopefully it was a good day at work, good day at school, good day doing whatever the fuck you do. Whatever the fuck you fucking motherfuckers do on a motherfucking Monday. If it wasn't good, have a beer, go to bed, wake up, and tomorrow is Tuesday. Now, this podcast is going to be a little different than the normal podcast. It's not necessarily going to be yours truly swearing the whole time. Which, if you're new to the podcast, thanks for tuning in. My name's Steve McAllister. I'm the host. I was a comedian for a long time, social worker for a longer time, and now I just make a lot of mistakes in my life. But this mistake today, there is no mistake today because I am going to have my buddy Nathan Timmel on as a guest, as a phone guest. Now, longtime listeners know that I use a Radio Shack tape recorder. I'm still in the analog age, and technology is not my friend, is what I'm trying to tell you. Right, fuck technology. It's the worst of all time. But we're gonna try it. I'm gonna give him a call, and we're gonna see what happens. Now, I did a dry run, a practice run, this weekend with somebody, and it turned out okay. There were no problems from what I could tell. So that means that today will be a complete fucking fiasco. But I'm going to call him in a minute or two. If you guys don't know who Nathan Timmel is, you can go check him out at his website. He's got a website. NathanTimmel.com. N-A-T-H-A-N, Nathan. Timmel. T-I-M-M-E-L. Timmel.com. NathanTimmel.com. You can go find his blog. He's got a podcast. He's got a shop. You can read more about him. I got to know Nathan years ago. We did a gig. I don't know if he'll remember. He probably won't. We met at a fucking casino in Sault Ste. Marie. And then we wandered over to Duluth, Minnesota. Oh, fuck, Minnesota! And then the following day we did some shows over there. So, all right. I am going to give him a call. He said that he would be ready. He said that he was all good to go for this podcast. He was the one who actually was like, oh, yeah, I want to be on your podcast. And I was like, you do? Nobody wants to be on this podcast. But he said he did. So he's like, I know you got six listeners. I want six listeners to know what I got to say, because he's all about promoting. He's got a new special out. I'll let him talk about it, though. So let's give this bad boy a call and see what happens here.
Testing, testing.
Nathan?
Can you hear me?
Are you there?
I am here.
All right. Now, you know technology is not my friend.
Technology is nobody's friend.
I continue to use a Radio Shack tape recorder. I'm in the analog age, but I think this is going to work.
Awesome in a way, actually.
Totally old school here. If you were here, you'd be like, what is this guy doing? It's like, you know how when you were a kid and we had rabbit ears and your dad would make you go over there and you'd fuck with the rabbit ears to get the TV signal?
I actually kind of like that.
Well, that's what I got going on right now. So I kind of did a pre-introduction so people know who you are. But this is my guest, Nathan Timmel, comedian Nathan Timmel, a very funny man who was in the New York Post a couple months ago. But you are here to promote your new comedy special. Let's get into it.
I'm here to talk about anything and everything, and hopefully they'll find that interesting enough to want to take a gander at my comedy special.
Well, I watched your special yesterday because I didn't want to be one of those guys who lied. I was like, oh yeah, I loved your special. And I did, your special was unique because you were just like, almost like mid-set sort of. There was no like, let's give it up for your headliner this evening. Or it was just you were on stage. Is that how you planned it, or is that how you wanted it?
Well, I don't want to say yes or no, but what happened was I didn't expect that question. So let's just be honest. Why don't we? I'll just be honest. The person that was supposed to introduce me did not do the best job in the world.
Oh.
And so I thought, well, we could fake it and, you know, just like do a voiceover of ladies and gentlemen, Nathan Timmel. And then I don't know what it was, but I thought, well, instead of just faking it, why not just start with the black screen like cinematic, like a movie?
Sure.
Where
yeah.
Here's the title. You hear me talking and then it fades and there I am. So I give sort of like a couple sentences, a setup to get you in. And then it opens on the first bit like, hey, this is what we're going to talk about to begin. And then I threw the little captions up there,
right,
to really sort of sell it. And I'm like, yeah, let's just do that. None of the I don't think people care about the whole your headliner tonight's been seen on. He's recording. Yeah. Like, I'm like, let's just do it. Let's just get right to the point.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, that's what I did.
That's great. What can I ask you? All right, first off, his special is called Unapologetic. It is on YouTube. You can go watch it now for free, which you told me that seems.
Not only can you watch it for free, you can watch it mostly ad free. I do have the very first, pre-roll ad on YouTube, but YouTube kept asking me to put mid-roll ads in the middle of the video.
Really?
And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I have no desire to interrupt my own special with ads. So you sit through 5 seconds, you hit skip ad video, and then from there, it is all free.
Free! Now, would you have gotten any money if they had put the ads in there?
Like a fraction of a penny every 1,000 views, maybe. So
that's
why I wasn't worried about it. I'm like, what am I giving up versus what I'm gaining? I'm giving up fractions of a penny, and I'm gaining a set that people don't like, too many ads, and click away from, or like interrupts the flow, or, you know, it was so much more worth it to me to have a free flowing 1 hour comedy special. Because I honestly click away from YouTube videos.
Sure.
If I sort of get into something and then all of a sudden an ad pops up, I just sort of think, fuck you, and click away. And maybe that's dickish of me because that's how they get paid.
Right.
But am I allowed to swear?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay, I dropped the F-bomb and I'm like, should I have done that?
No.
I did a clean radio interview this morning. And
oh,
like,
did It's a total free for all here, Nathan. So don't worry about it. I'm not too concerned. Oh, anybody who listens to this podcast is not concerned. All six listeners. So this is fantastic.
Hello, six listeners. Thanks for tuning in.
If
you have six listeners and two of them check out my comedy special, that's what I'm here for.
Success.
Two people that would not have heard of me.
That's true. That's great. I got a lot of questions though. One. Can I ask where you filmed it? I liked where you filmed it.
Okay. Not long story, but I'll make it long just because it's a podcast and we have the time, I think.
Sure. Yeah.
I had been wanting to film this for a year, and I would end up at a couple of clubs I really like, and so I would Google production companies in those cities. I don't know how they stay in business, or maybe they're so busy they don't give a fuck about me, but I would, hey, I'm a comedian, I'm coming to town. What would you charge for this? I really like your clips on your website. And I would get zero responses.
Huh.
And the one time I did get a response, it was just to say we're already booked.
Gotcha.
And so I was feeling frustrated. I was like, God, is this ever going to happen? And then I'll go back in time. COVID killed the comedy club where I live in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
But the guy that owned it wanted to keep comedy alive here. So he partnered with a music venue, said, hey, you do music. Have you ever thought about doing comedy? And they said, not really. He said, well, let's try it. And they did. And so now every so often, the Ideal Theater in Cedar Rapids has a comedy show. And that's where I filmed it, because it just sort of, I've been going through all these frustrations trying to film it. And then it just happened in my own backyard.
There you go. I just like how it's very much sort of like a black box theater. And it seemed like there was like stadium seating. Is that correct?
Well, it's an old school, like vaudevillian theater.
Uh-huh.
And it's got a lot of old school, unique 20s, 30s, 40s vibe to it. You know, very, very classic aesthetic. And then so it used to have a balcony. But fire codes today meant it couldn't have a balcony, so it has a higher ceiling than it should.
Right.
But it just has a neat vibe to it, where it looks like it should have stadium seating. It just had low tops and high tops is all.
Because it looked like it was kind of like staggered, not like quite stadium seating, but it looked like things were going up and up and up sort of thing. So it looked very cool, man. It was a very nice place to record it. Did you did they provide the camera guys themselves, or those were guys that you hired out?
I hired them out. I finally got a company to off Googling to write me back and say we'd love to. I 97.9% of the places I would look into were all like corporate events.
Sure.
They would, hey, we can set up your, AV meeting and whatever else you have. But these guys had music videos. They did live capture. And I said, okay, you've got live music at this festival. Have you ever done comedy? And they were so, it's called Blue Sky Productions in Cedar Rapids. They were so enthusiastic. They said, we've never done comedy, but my goodness, we would love to give it a shot. And they were great to work with. Just wonderful, wonderful people. And this is an ego moment. beware, listeners.
Please.
My ego is getting out of control. My swelled head. The director, after the show, said, 5 minutes in, I had to realize that I needed to pay attention to what I was doing, because I realized I was just watching you and laughing and not, telling the camera people what to do. And I'm like,
that's
well,
great.
There's a compliment right there.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's a great compliment. Which is it's funny because like I said, I watched your special yesterday, and right off the bat, you
got really far away. Just a heads up. I don't know if that's going to do anything to the recording. But you just sounded like you moved two rooms over.
All right. Let me, is that better?
Now you're back. Yes.
And I'm back. All right. You started off your set, and you were talking about like, don't be a Dave, be a Billy.
Yes.
And can you explain to the crowd, or do you want to wait for them to watch it?
I can explain a little without giving away the punchline.
Sure.
I'll tell you, those are both true stories. The only lie in that whole set is I don't remember Billy's name. And so I just gave him the name Billy. And what's
That's
funny
perfect.
Is I got hired by the city. That the lumber yard, I did a performance in a lumber yard. That's where the Billy comes in. I got hired by the city and I said, hey, I did a corporate show here a couple of years ago and I've been telling a joke about it on stage where, and the guy was in the audience and he told me his name and I forgot it again. I don't know if it was Henry or something like that, but I thought that was funny. That is a true story. I didn't remember his name. So I made it up, met him again and forgot his name a second time.
As you're talking about, you're right. Like I want to talk about it because I love the juxtaposition of the two incidents, but I suppose we can't really talk about it because then it ruins it for people. Cause as a comedian, I liked it because it was very relatable of like someone had to like get their nose in a bunch or their panties in a bunch about it. And then other people were just like, yeah, whatever. This is fucking laugh and have a good time.
Right. So David is that's his real name. David is his real name. When I tell the audience up front, don't be David. David was a human resources person who I got hired to perform at a corporate gig. And then someone in the company complained about a video they saw of mine on YouTube. And David pulled that. Sort of, we have to have zero complaints. Comedy should be a 100% positive experience. If there is even a remote chance of negativity, we can't do it. He fired me a week before the show. And so the whole point of the bit is you're never, ever going to please 100% of your audience. If you are the squeakiest, cleanest person, someone's going to want it a little dirty. If you're dirty, someone's going to want it clean. If you're political, whatever it is, you just have to use your best judgment and swing for the fences and try and take as many people as possible with you.
Sure. Right.
And use your. And so David was not allowing for that. David got very, nope, we have to, we can't have anything even be remotely questionable, offensive, even though I didn't think what I did was offensive. So long story short is, Billy had a sense of humor about something that had happened in his life that he could have been upset about. And David was just outright upset about something he had no right to be upset about. That's what we're talking about without giving away the punchlines, the don't be David, be Billy.
Right.
Billy had a good sense of humor about his life, had a good head on his shoulders. And David would be the person you hear about that is cancel culture, I suppose, is the best way to put it.
Sure. And I just loved it because you're describing everything that was going on. And like, I heard the joke that got you in trouble and everything. And I'm just like rolling my eyes that anybody would be offended by this. And it just shows you that like, you have no idea what is going to be like the trigger word or whatever that's going to upset a person. Right. And it's just, makes it very difficult.
I tell the joke that is supposedly offensive. And it's a joke that is, I'd never had a problem with it before. I'd never run into anyone saying that joke is problematic. And that's what I found fascinating about it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The guy took it wrong in the wrong way. It was very funny.
What's funny is I performed at a place called the Robin Theater in Lansing, Michigan a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
The owner of that place talked to me after the show and said, man, I would love to put your Don't Be David, Be Billy opening joke on a screen and play it for every audience before the show begins or at the beginning of the show. Like whatever they are seeing that night, I want them to hear your take first. Because he got it. He loved it. That's the kind of theater owner, club owner. That's the kind of person you want in charge of comedy or art or what have you, is someone that says, wow, what a great way to break down how a comedy audience or an art critic should be.
Sure.
And so that's what we're dancing around, is without giving away the punchlines.
Sometimes you just need to realize that, like, just because it's funny to you doesn't mean it'll be funny to somebody else. And just because you didn't like it doesn't mean other people can't enjoy it as well. You just got to let stuff go sometimes, right? It's not directed at you specifically. It's just out there in the universe.
Well, comedy is subjective, and the way I look at it is, if I'm standing on stage and there is an audience of 100 people in front of me, and 99 of them are laughing and one person is not, that person, great, they don't like me, but they might want to look. If that person comes up to me after the show and goes, "You weren't funny." Well, yes, I was. Look in the mirror. If I'm on stage, there are 100 people in the audience, and one person is laughing and 99 are not, then I need to look in the mirror.
Right.
Like, I reached that one guy, but is that enough? Like, it, comedy's subjective, but there are overall, you know, in baseball, if you're batting 300, you're a hero. Comedians are expected to bat 1,000.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that joke bombed. He sucks. Like, we get punished very harshly for, you know, a bad joke or a bad set. I mean, you and I have both had experiences, I'm assuming.
Oh,
I know I have, where I can think of the club right now. I went in, I did great Thursday, I did great Friday, I did great first show Saturday, and second show Saturday, the audience didn't really like me. And I never went back to that club. I'd contact, wow. And when I was getting paid, they went, that show was kind of rough, wasn't it? I'm like, yeah, what are you going to do? One show is going to be rough for a weekend. And nope, they were like, yeah, we don't need Timmel. He missed the late show of Drunk Idiots. Like, wow, great. Thanks for judging me on that.
Well, then that tells you that the guy who was the manager of the Robin Theater was clearly not managing that comedy club, because any real manager would have understood, like, yeah, that's just how it works sometimes.
Exactly.
Right. Are you familiar with that, the recent controversy about the comedy club? I think it was in Seattle, it was Portland.
Quarantine?
Yeah, where they fired him. Absolutely. And Kurt Metzger and all that. And I found that to be kind of absurd, but it sort of seems to be the world in which we live currently.
It's beyond absurd. And I'm seeing articles written today that are finally picking up on. I do a podcast with a comedian buddy in New York City, and we both had the exact same thought, which might be your thought as well. If the comedy club had said up front and done their homework and said, this is our audience, Florentine, we're going to take a pass on him, Metzger, we're going to take a pass on these guys because they're a little edgier than our audience is like.
Sure.
That's understandable. But to hire them, then get a little blowback and say, we talked to community activists and we need to release them from their dates. And then put in the email, we value freedom of expression and artistic comedy voices. It's like, fuck you, yeah. You do not.
Except here on our stage.
In your email, they put in their email, we talked about this with advocacy groups. Fuck you. You adults make up their own mind. If they show up and no one buys tickets and they bomb, all right, well, yeah, your audience spoke. I honestly hope, I know Florentine posted that Portland, Oregon is honoring his dates, but I Googled, as soon as I read the article, and I saw that Seattle has 3 comedy clubs.
Huh.
I think one of the others, too, should hire all 4 of them.
Right.
Or my buddy Jake said, all 4 of them, they've got some clout. They should rent out a 1,000-person theater and go sell that place out.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. It's weird today how, like, stuff like that happens, where people will, like, you already mentioned, they'll get canceled or whatever, and they'll lose dates. And it's just like, how do you fucking not know who this person is that you hired? It's just, it's crazy to me. I just don't get it all. I get, like, if you knew who they were and you didn't want to hire them, then there you go. But if you hire them, that's fucking on you.
Exactly. Well, what about, it's funny because I tell the story in my comedy special. I got fired during a gig playing, and I used to not talk. I don't think I said it on stage for the special. I might have hinted, like, or I might have said, like, I'm not going to name it because it was the University of Iowa. So it happened at the exact same time that I remember, because it happened at the exact same time both Jerry Seinfeld and Chris Rock came out and said, we will not perform at colleges anymore. They're getting too woke. They're getting too sensitive.
Right.
I was doing a pro marriage equality joke. I was talking about gay rights as a straight ally, as saying, I am straight. Straight people seem to have more power. Christians have power. So as a straight person, I'm going to join my gay brothers and sisters and champion that gay marriage, marriage equality is a good thing. And I got told, taken off stage and told, you are not allowed to talk about gay issues because you are not a gay man. And I'm like, wow, you are insane. Like, my whole life I was told, be an ally. And now I'm being told, she was basically saying, shut up and listen. That new wave of, you just need to listen. We're going to do all the talking. You need to listen. And it wasn't even a gay person that told me that. The gay community loved the joke. They got that I was an ally.
Sure. Like,
when I put the joke online, the gay community went, wow, thank you for being an ally. So this was someone that was being offended on behalf of someone else, on behalf of a community they knew nothing about. They just wanted, like, and they were mad. It wasn't like, I don't think you should talk about this. It was, how dare you talk about this?
Right.
And even from the point of being an ally. And I thought that was fucking absurd.
Do you find any of this kind of like attitude or atmosphere in the world today kind of affects what you might say on stage, or are you clearly like, you don't give a shit?
It did a while ago. Now I don't give a shit because I'm a better comedian. So here, this is going to be an odd story, but stay with me. It made me think of Peter Gabriel's Melty Face and album. The one with Games Without Frontiers on it. Big song is Games Without Frontiers. I must have heard that album 1,000 times before reading an interview where Peter said, oh, yeah, it was funny. Right before we started recording, I told the drummer, I'm taking all your cymbals away. And I went, what? And then I listened to the album again and I realized there are no cymbals on that album. Like, the drummer had no hi-hat, no ride, no, like, literally, like, so he had to use a workaround. He had to go, how can I play the drums if normally I go,
right,
but I don't get to do the, like, so it was fascinating to listen to it, having that knowledge, even though, and that's how I view comedy now. What I mean by that is I will still talk about whatever I want to talk about, depending on the audience.
Gotcha.
That night when I'm recording my special, this is my special. I am not going to censor anything except for the name of the university that fired me. I'm going to talk about any topic I want to because I am paying for this. I was in Hannibal, Missouri 2 nights ago at a small theater, and I got told coming in, hey, just a heads up, our audiences are a little older. You might want to keep it PG-13. Don't be too dirty. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sound like a problem. And the audience showed up. I looked at them, read them, and I gave them a PG show, extra clean, and they loved it. So I'll talk about what I want to when I want to, but I also know when it's appropriate not to say certain things.
Right.
So would I go to I'm not saying I could do I did a show for the Lions a couple of years ago. I did 30 minutes of G-rated material at an audience that ranged from 6 years old to 80 years old. I am able to pivot these days. 15 years ago, I would have been afraid, or I would have been, fuck you, I have artistic integrity.
Right.
But now it's, you know what, this gig, they want me to do this. All right, I'm sort of a chameleon.
Yes.
But when it comes to what I want to do, I'll do it when I want to. I know I will have the opportunity to say what I want if I want to record a special.
So how did you know
when that makes sense? Does that sort of answer your question?
Oh,
did I just go off on a tangent?
I love tangents, man. I don't know. You answered the question. I don't know. What was the question?
Something about Israel-Palestine. Oh, wait. Am I trying to get us both canceled now?
I've already been canceled. How did you decide that you wanted to record the special?
You know me. I live in Iowa. Hollywood doesn't know I exist. So I could sit and cross my fingers and wait for Netflix or HBO to discover me. I had to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that's going to, I just choked on water. I don't know that it's going to, I did it now because I honestly, I don't think I have any expectations for it. I don't mean that in a negative way.
Sure.
Like, again, I could have tried 10 years ago, like, I'm going to put this out and it's going to change my comedy career and everybody's going to love me.
Yeah.
And I did it now because it was sort of, I can afford it. I found a reasonable price, still, you know, a good chunk of money. It wasn't cheap. It looks good. It was 4K, so people can throw it up on their TV and watch it.
Yeah.
But I was able to go into it comfortably without expectations. And I think that helped. The idea that I wasn't in the back of my head going, man, I hope this launches me. I hope this gets me discovered. Man, I hope this doesn't flop. I don't want it to flop, but, you know, I don't have delusions of grandeur, I guess.
Okay. So, and I mean, that's kind of the thing that I think so many comedians have in the back of their head of like, it's going to be this one show, this one opportunity. I'm going to be in front of the right person and I'm going to get discovered or my life is going to change. And I quickly came to realize like none of that shit's going to fucking happen for me. And it never did. And I always find it funny when I see these young guys doing stuff and they always think, this is it. This is it. I'm like, no, this is not it. People have called me the bubble burster at times. And I'm like, I don't know. I guess I've become the curmudgeon, I guess.
Well, I'm not a curmudgeon.
I am.
I'm just sort of, I'm comfortable, not curmudgeon-y. I'm comfortable like, sure. Hey, I did it. I put it out there. I really want people to like it. If I were to talk to young comics, I would not burst their bubbles. What I would say, I'm being very clear here. Young comedians, if you want to make it and be successful and have a shot at being famous, go somewhere like New York, Chicago, or Los Angeles and start networking.
Right.
It's not about talent. It's not about how originality. It's not about laughter. It's the only thing it is about. Oh, I know him. He's cool. Yeah. Give him a shot.
Sure.
I'm not kidding. That used to make me angry. I used to be very upset that it wasn't based on talent or merit or you know, years under your belt or your resume. I've just come to accept it now. Go to the Improv in Los Angeles. Go there every single night of the week. If the club is open, you're there hanging out. And when they need someone to get on stage, oh, yeah, you know, Bobby's here. He was sitting at the bar. Yeah. Oh, Bobby's cool. Yeah. He jumps in on open mic night. Oh, I like Bobby. Put Bobby up on stage.
Get him up.
That's literally all it is. That is absolutely young comics. Get yourself to where you can be discovered and seen and just make it happen.
Now, as a comedian who lives in the Midwest, are you finding it more difficult in this day and age with like YouTube and TikTok and everything else to kind of adjust as that guy? Or do you feel like those things have kind of enhanced your career?
I don't know if they've advanced it. It hasn't hurt me at all. We'll see. You know, see, that's the thing. You talk about things that are going to, the bubble bursting. You talk about the thing that's going to make you. I was sort of talking to someone the other day. I was writing something. I don't remember. The whole point is I've gone viral more often than I can count at this point.
Sure.
I remember the first meme of mine that went viral on Reddit. I remember my sister-in-law texting me saying, my friend in Australia just sent me this joke, not realizing you're my brother-in-law. That's how big this joke went.
Nice.
I have over 100 million views on YouTube. I have videos on YouTube that have 8-6 million views. You know, it hasn't moved the needle for me.
Right.
It hasn't. It doesn't mean I give up. It doesn't mean I give ang. I don't understand it. You hear about these comics, you're like, oh, I see articles. I have seen articles written in like aggregate websites that just pull like entertainment news.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this guy got a million views. I'm like, I have 7 million more than him on one video. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what, if anything, will. So now I just sort of, I do it. I put out a video every single day on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. I got a funny story about TikTok. YouTube, TikTok, and Facebook. You know, who knows? I just put them out there, and I hope people like them, and I hope people share them. And, yeah. Here's my funny TikTok story.
Let's do it.
I have been chopping up this special into TikTok size shorts,
sure.
You know, to try, like, at the end, put, hey, if you like this joke, go watch the full special. Hey, if you like this joke, go. So the very first one I posted, the very first joke I posted from the special, I've posted a couple of these jokes before, but from, you know, cell phone footage at the back of a room, just like, oh, here's me on stage. Yeah, the sound isn't the best, but, you know, you get the point. It's me on stage telling a joke. TikTok, dinged my current video for not exactly copyright violation, but they said, hey, this is stolen material. And they dinged it against my cell phone footage joke. They said, hey, Nathan Timmel, you stole this from a guy named Nathan Timmel that looks a lot like you, but you know, this looks much more professional. Check out this cell phone footage. That's where you got this from. And so I could appeal it. So I did. I appealed like, that's me. You're telling me I'm stealing from me. And they rejected my appeal. Said, no. You obviously. I'm like, what English second language dumb fuck was in charge of this? And I hate to sound racist, but it's like customer support. When you call customer support and you get someone that is not your native tongue and you're trying to explain to them, and it literally, someone was so fucking stupid, they didn't look at the two videos and go, oh, same guy retelling the same. I'm like, wow. Right. Wow, that's insane. God right. bless TikTok. If the government shouldn't be worried about them stealing our secrets, because that's how fucking dumb they are.
They get their head way up their ass.
And I think it just happened on Instagram, too. I got a notification from there about content. I appealed that. We'll see what happens.
How do you think that happened for you? Because I realized over the last year or so that you do have a fairly large following of people who like your little reels and your clips and the TikToks and all that. How did that happen for you? Because, I mean, you're a middle-aged guy, and when you think of those things,
well,
you're thinking
viral. That's all it is. So I have these huge followings, but look at my videos.
Yeah.
They get, 1,000 hits. I have 90,000 followers. 1,000 people see the video. It's all the algorithm. When they decide to put something in and I get 3 million hits, I get 1,000 or 2,000 followers. But then my next 10 videos get, 100 views. Right. Then I get one, like I said, that gets 8 million views and you get 10,000 followers. But they don't, it's like you're building a very small, slow army. The numbers are deceiving. And I figured that out early on. I figured that out right away. Oh, for every 1,000 followers I get, I might get 2 people that are really into what I do.
Yeah.
And so over time, I have noticed the regulars, the people that show up and write comments and like to interact with me and seem to be fans of my comedy and seem to enjoy what I do as a person. But most of them just saw a video and went, oh, I like this dude, click. And then they're just back onto scrolling and, not keeping up.
So I was going to ask if you've seen that translate into like ticket sales or anything of that nature.
Not a ton, a little bit. I mean, I have people telling me I follow you on these places, but
sure.
I haven't seen it to, hey, we got to book Timmel. He's got this huge following and everybody comes to see him.
Right.
That's the dream. I mean, I've never wanted fame and fortune. I've never wanted to be a movie star. My whole dream in this fucking business is, oh yeah, he's funny, let's book him. As opposed to, hey, remember I was there and I fucking killed and everybody said I was one of the best comics you ever booked? Oh, you're going to ignore me for 5 years. Great.
Yeah.
That's the standard. Oh, you're hiring this TikTok guy that humps a stool on stage and talks about, you ever see a woman that's beautiful and then she got a stinky pussy? Ah, that guy, let's book him here.
Like, oh, stinky pussy guy.
Yeah, that's a real TikToker too. I don't know the person's name.
Oh,
but,
my God.
I've heard stories. There's a lot of that going in through comedy clubs right now. They book. It's no different than a few years ago when it was Twitter followers. There are a sad, alarming number of comedy clubs that are just there for the one-off shows of the quick ticket sales for the drinks. And I've heard stories. I don't know how accurate they are. That a lot of these people come through and they're not good. Sure, they can make an interesting TikTok video.
Sure.
But you get them on stage for an hour and they just bomb and the audience is like, nah, it wasn't that good. Why would I go back there? Like, I think it sullies the reputation of the club. But what do I know?
Yeah, they're just going for the quick buck, the right here, whatever's in front of them. Yeah. I've always told people, like, you just need to learn to trust the club. Of like, maybe you've not heard of this comedian, But you're like, oh, I know this club books quality people to come in here, so it doesn't matter if I necessarily know who this is. And then you look at some of these clubs where it's always like television star, movie star, TikTok guy, YouTube guy. And then, like you said, you're like, yeah, that really wasn't that great. So it was a big difference.
I have said the exact same thing multiple times. There are a handful of clubs. What I've discovered is the clubs that I work regularly, I mean, they talk like that. They actively mention that. They say, yeah, we're stacking the show in a way they pay attention. Like, okay, we think this opener will look good, will work well with this headliner. Let's make it happen. You know, they care about comedy, but there are unfortunately too many out there, or quite a few, that just, you know, like, flavor of the day.
Right, right. It's the heat. Like, it's to me, it's like the Matt Rife character. Of like, I mean, I don't know a ton about this guy, but all of a sudden he's like selling out arenas, and you're like, who the fuck is this guy? And he's, like you said, he's kind of the flavor of the moment.
Well, I don't know anything about him, and I have nothing against him. Good for him for his success.
Sure.
It was interesting what happened with him. I had never heard of him until suddenly he was selling out every single place in the world. I have a quick, funny Matt Rife story for you, too.
Love it.
But then, you know, his special comes out on Netflix and there's all this backlash. And I'm like, that's fascinating. And I don't know if the backlash is warranted or justified or not, but it was just interesting that, you know, he's the hugest, biggest thing. But once enough people find out about him, it's like, do we really like him? I don't know. I have nothing, no opinion. The funny thing I want to say about him is my special.
Yeah.
We planned it several months in advance, obviously like 6-8 months, like, hey, do you want to do this date? I'm like, yes, I'm going to hire a production company. I want to record there. Actually, I'll back up. I'll tell you the full story. He says, do you want this gig? This music venue is going to do comedy. I said, yeah, absolutely. I want the gig. And so I went just to walk in and look at it. And once I saw it, I was like, I need to film here. This is such a beautiful location. I must get off my ass and make this happen.
Right.
So I get everything lined up. I pay for the production company. And then we are 2 days out from the show. And the booking agent says, yeah, we're doing good. I think we have a good shot at selling out. Oh, by the way, did you know that Matt Rife had 2 sold out shows at the theater that night? So we had gone right up against the hottest comedian in the country and had no clue.
Wow. That's how it works sometimes, man. That's great. Penguins is dead?
Yeah, Penguins. It's a sad story. I think I can tell it now. I was sort of holding back because I wasn't sure what I could and could not say.
Sure.
But the guy that owned Penguins for years got just burned out. He said, you know what, I'm tired of running this. I got to do something else. But he didn't want comedy to go away. So he let someone sort of take over Penguins. He kept booking the comedians. He's like, I want to bring in the talent, but we'll keep the Penguins name alive.
Right.
So COVID hits.
Yeah.
And the person that actively is running Penguins goes, oh yeah, we're going to reopen. And they strung him along. The guy, the booker of the comedians, they strung him along for 8 months. Like, oh, we're going to reopen. We're going to reopen. We're going to open anytime now. We're not going to reopen. And so when they finally said, yeah, we're not going to reopen, that's when he's like, well, fuck you. I'm going to branch out and find ways to keep comedy alive in Cedar Rapids by doing, you know, shows where I can. He doesn't want to run a club anymore.
Right.
But he, you know, he has a love for comedy. So he's trying this and it's working pretty well.
I always, I like that strange little room. So that was, when you said that it was dead, I hadn't heard anything about it. I'm out of the game more or less. So it was sad to hear that coming out of your mouth. So there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
COVID killed a lot of clubs.
COVID did?
And a lot of clubs opened after COVID, and then a lot of clubs closed again. It was funny. There was a club, where was it? I forget. It was called the, I forget. It was in Michigan. It was, but it lasted 3 months, maybe. I sent the press kit, and then it was like, we're sad to say we're closing our doors. I'm like, wow. You really did not last long.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. 3 months, huh? Crazy. Huh. Well, we're 45 minutes in, man. I try to keep this thing under an hour. So is there anything that you want to kind of discuss, promote, yell at me? You tell me.
No, but I think there's something you wanted to discuss that I don't care about. I thought it was funny. Did you want to talk about canned pumpkin? Or am I confusing you with someone else?
The New York Post article?
Oh, that's right. You did mention it. Yeah,
I did, because I'm like, for my podcast, I scroll through websites for things to talk about. And the New York Post is one, because there's always weird, goofy shit. And then all of a sudden, there's Nathan Timmel on the New York Post. I'm like, what the fuck? So, yeah, let's talk about that weirdness, man.
Sure. It was fantastic. Let's put it this way.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm not going to lie. I kind of miss it. It was a fun period of my life. Listeners, if you want to pause the podcast, or you can do it while you're listening, you can Google canned pumpkin guy. And for 3 weeks in early December, I was the most hated man on TikTok. It was, I would log in and had thousands of people calling me an asshole, and I would laugh my ass off. I remember how I'll just go from the beginning. It's a true story. It's a story about going to the grocery store for my wife. I posted it on the Monday after Thanksgiving, what had just happened a couple days before. Hey, this just happened. For a week, it was normal. For a week, it got about 200,000 hits, and people were like, ah, that's funny. You know, like, they got it. They got what I was doing.
Right.
Then two influencers. Now, here's the fun part.
Oh, boy.
When I told the story, I wrote a description that said, hey, everybody, this is a true story, but it was actually a big nothing. I'm not angry. I'm pretending to be angry in the video. I love my wife. I'm just doing a, hey, you know, marriage has rough spots. You know, sometimes your spouse does something that's frustrating and they do it all, you know, like my wife didn't respond to a text and she never does. So it's kind of frustrating. So I'm going to pretend to be angry. I tried it on stage Friday and Saturday night. Worked pretty well. Let's try it on TikTok.
Okay.
And so for a week it did fine. Then two of the dumbest fucking influencers on the planet found it and used me as an example of toxic masculinity a bad husband. And their followers went nuts. And then when they went nuts, then it started to grow. And because you can stitch and duet on TikTok, people that are so... this is actually the only part I find sad about it. I watched some of the stitches and recreations. Yeah. And there were some that were actually kind of amusing, but a lot of it was just really sad, desperate people looking for attention. Ooh, this guy's an enemy. If I say I don't like him too, then people are going to like me. And they put out these really just pathetic, crybaby, shitty, uninteresting videos. There were some that I said were good, but yeah, that's the story. And the funny part was that my favorite part is where I say that for a week it was normal.
Yeah.
Because I really find it interesting that as I put out a video that said, you idiots do realize that you're sheep, right? You're kind of like flat earthers or Trump supporters, that you just sort of go along with what you're told. There is a test market for this, and it's the time period where no one was telling you, hey, hate this guy.
Right.
And they're like, no, now you're just gaslighting us. I'm like, wow, you are in deep to whatever bullshit you're sniffing. And here's the other part. Now that it's over, I can talk about this. I wanted to keep this hidden for a long time because I didn't want, because I know how the mob acts.
Right.
There's another control group here. And that's the fact that I posted this in four places. On Instagram, it was probably 70% positive, 30% negative. On YouTube, it was probably 95% positive, 5% negative. On Facebook, it was 100% positive because it was mostly friends. And they're all like, oh, we get it, you and Lydia. TikTok is the only place that took it to extreme negativity. And I think it's because they're young and have no life experience.
Right.
And so it was just interesting. Like, oh, fuck you. You're in the wrong. Fuck you, canned pumpkin guy. Nobody likes you. I'm like, actually, quite a few people like it. You're just living in an echo chamber of young and ignorant. And you take your marching orders from really stupid influencers. And the funny part about one of the influencers, it was like a 20-year-old relationship expert. I'm like, oh, yeah, because you have so much life experience that you need to be giving it out. And the way she talked was just like, I hate to sound like a dick, but you're a handful. You're yelling at me. I'm not sure what guy wants to put up with you. You need, and I like a sort of wimpy, you know, yes, ma'am, yes, dear. Like,
yes.
It was fascinating. It was fascinating. And so as it got bigger and bigger, it was in Apple News. It made the New York Post. It was, yeah. Here's my absolute favorite part out of all of it. When they were screaming that I should be canceled and saying I should be, people were writing, we need to find out where he works and get him fired. I mean, think about that. I didn't say anything racist. I didn't say anything anti-trans. I didn't take a side on Israel-Palestine. I talked about shopping for my wife. That takes skill. To get canceled, to get that much hatred because I went to a grocery store, come on. I deserve some credit for that. It would have been easy for me to say something insulting about Israel or Palestine. No, no. I got canceled over shopping.
Canned
pumpkin.
I deserve
credit for that. I deserve some credit for getting canceled over canned pumpkin. My buddy Jake said I should embrace it and become that comedian. He said I should do a rant. Ah, she left the cap off the toothpaste. I'm divorcing my wife. Like, I should become the comedian of anger over mundane things.
Right.
Just to piss off people with too much time on their hands.
This guy's got to fucking relax.
The only thing I regret about my special is I recorded the special before, and I still do the canned pumpkin bit, and it kills every time.
Sure.
The canned pumpkin bit gets applause. Because I think there's a difference between a live audience that came out to see comedy and a bitter, lonely, unhappy person sitting, you know, at home on TikTok, just being bitter and lonely and wanting to vent on someone. So they vent on me. But yeah, if I could have gotten the canned pumpkin bit on that special, oh, that would have just been a chef's kiss right there. Because then I could, you know, and that's there's one more funny part about this is I did release a cell phone footage of me telling the joke live on stage to laughter, and people are like, fuck you, still not funny. I'm like, that's the subjective part again. You have it in your face. Oh, again, I can talk about this even more because I'm thinking of other things. To me, what was interesting is how these people, did you ever see the movie Behind the Curve?
I don't think so.
It's a documentary on Netflix about flat earthers.
Okay.
And there are a couple scenes where the flat earthers are going to prove the earth is flat,
right,
and they prove themselves wrong instead. And so instead of accepting that they've proved themselves wrong, they immediately pivot to another explanation as to why their experiment didn't work. And I watched that happen in real time with me. So when I would say, you idiots do, that's a little harsh, but
right,
when you idiots you do realize this was a joke, right? How dare you pretend it's a joke now? Oh, now you're trying to pretend it's a joke? Well, there are guys. Okay, so it's a joke, but there are guys out there that act like that, so you shouldn't influence them. I'm like, oh. And so they would just pivot and try and they would try and justify reasons for not liking me or it, because the one thing I said was, you don't have to find it funny. If you don't like that joke, that's fine.
Right.
Just don't pretend it's real. You
right.
can't say that is real, because I said right in the description that it's a joke, that
yeah.
it didn't happen like that. And people would say, oh, now you're trying to go back and change the truth. I'm like, no, no. I said it up front. I'm still saying the same thing. I'm not offended by you. I think your name calling is funny, but you can't say it's real. I don't care if you find it funny or not, but you know, you can't say it's real.
People are insane, man. We just need to realize that.
They really are.
Every time you step on stage, you got to be like, I'm in front of a bunch of lunatics.
Yep. Yes, yes, yes.
All right, Nathan.
Well, I think that covers everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure. Everybody's a lunatic. Yeah. Nathan Timmel, everybody.
I should have called my special Everyone's a Lunatic instead of Unapologetic.
Unapologetic on YouTube. You got 253,000 TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram followers. That's fucking crazy, man. You released 5 CDs?
More than that now.
You think there's more?
I haven't updated in a while. I probably have around that, I think. Yeah.
That's crazy, man. That's awesome.
I'm trying to do the math in my head. 130 plus, so that's 220, 30, 40, 50, 270,000 now.
Yeah, so you got more. That's crazy. You got 5 CDs,
again,
4 books.
I got 7.5 CDs.
Jesus, man. You got to update your website.
I should. My half CD, I say 7.5 because the seventh CD or eighth CD, I can't remember which one it is.
Yep.
I took all old material and I redid it on stage clean. So it's like a clean CD for grandma.
Right. Nice. You got to worry about grandma.
Yep. Books on Amazon, books on audio, books that I've written. Albums on Apple Music. So you want to go listen to it, but check out the special. And here's one thing I said in my promo that I never, ever say. I hate people that say, don't forget to subscribe and like and share.
Sure.
But for this video, it's the one time I'm saying it really helps the algorithm. So if you check it out and you hit the like button and you say, hey, cool set, thanks. I think it's cheesy to ask for, but I have to for this one because I invested so much money. And it does help the algorithm. If the algorithm sees, oh, this is getting a lot of interaction, it bumps me up in the feeds.
The algorithm.
Get away from. Go ahead.
The algorithm, the all-important algorithm.
You know, there have been studies. People talk about how you try and hashtag and how you try and position when you release things. And they have all these tips on how to try and best work the algorithm to your favor. The only one that works is interaction.
Right.
If people are interacting and sharing your post, then it gets bumped in the feed. That is the main thing.
You would be correct. So anything else you want to promote, man? I know you got your YouTube special. You got any dates coming up?
I got one-off dates. I can't think of them right now. Okay. I'm I'm good.
People,
I appreciate you doing this.
Oh, thanks, man. I got my 6 listeners who may or may not bump your algorithm.
Hey, as I said, every little one helps.
Go to NathanTimmel.com. Go search him out on YouTube. You find all of his clips, and you'll find Unapologetic. I watched it yesterday. I love the bit about the comedian who shall not be named. So that was very funny as well.
Thanks. That's another story that I did not want to talk about for years,
sure,
for fear of just retribution. Just the idea that. fuck this guy. I'm going to tell the clubs not to book him. And I just sort of hit that comfort point in my life where I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to talk about it. Right. I don't care. I'm not going to say his name, but it doesn't take a lot to figure out who it is.
It does not. Because I'm like going, all right, who is it? And then I was like, oh, now I know who it is. I've never had any experience with that guy, but I've had similar experiences with other people. And it's always a little disappointing. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to move on with my life.
Yep. Good hearing your voice. Good talking to you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for reaching out. I've always appreciated you, man. I've always enjoyed your stuff. So I'm glad that you reached out and wanted to do this pretty mediocre podcast.
Reaching out with selfish intent.
Hey, man.
Promote me.
Whatever. It works. You've given me some content for today. So I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, my friend.
All right, brother.
I will share it.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate it, Nathan. We'll talk to you. Bye. Okay, bye. Mm-mm. All right, everybody. That was Nathan Timmel. As I said, go check him out at NathanTimmel.com. Please do that. Go to YouTube. Check out his special Unapologetic. Search out Nathan Timmel. It'll pop up for you. And then you'll see all the clips or views or reels or shorts or whatever it's called on whatever media platform that you like using the most. I'll tell you guys, that's it for today because 58 minutes in. That's the podcast for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you're brand new to the podcast, most of my podcasts are not like this. Usually it's just me ranting and raving and bitching and swearing. So is it funny? Absolutely not. But give it a chance. Free podcasts are Mondays and Thursdays. I do the Patreon episodes all the other days of the week. So Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. That's 5 extra podcasts. If you go to patreon.com, subscribe. Just $5 a month gets you more. Is it better? No, absolutely not. It gets you more. So please do that. Please check out the Facebook page. Check out the Twitter page. That's where you will hear clips of the day sent in by listener Jason. He listens to the podcast. He finds something funny. He sends it to me, and then I post it. I have no idea whatever he's going to send me, but there we go. So please do that. Please check out my TeePublic store. Check out my Mercari store. Buy shit for me. I got shit for sale. If you can't find the links, let me know, and I'll send you the link. And then do these seven things, everybody. I got seven things that I like to promote. If you can go over to Facebook, and if you can check out the Extra Levels, Extra Levels Gaming site, it is a video game store in Holt, Michigan. I know none of you live near Holt, but if you can go check it out, if you're a gamer or know a gamer, go check it out, because they got old games, new games, games for any system you have. Check them out. Extra Levels Gaming on Facebook. Check out West Michigan Trading Cards and Sports Memorabilia. It is a place where you can buy cards, sell cards, trade cards, show off your cards, or jerseys, balls, whatever you want. West Michigan Trading Cards, Sports Memorabilia. Now, it is a group and not a page, so you got to answer four simple questions. But once you do that, then you're in. West Michigan Trading Cards and Sports Memorabilia. And you don't need to live in West Michigan. There's people all over the place who've joined. Check out the Sunday Slaw. That's Adam and Stephanie House. They eat a ton of coleslaw. They do Facebook Live videos of themselves eating coleslaw, and then they tell you if it's good or not. And usually they seem to like it. Every now and then they shit on a coleslaw, but for the most part they like it. I like coleslaw. They love coleslaw. So check them out, the Sunday Slaw. And then, because they're not busy enough, the same crazy kids, Adam and Stephanie House, do a podcast called the Forced Entry Podcast. New episodes every Tuesday on Spotify. They talk about marriage and kids and jobs and all sorts of stuff. All very relatable. So check it out on Spotify, the Forced Entry Podcast. And they have their page on Facebook as well. And then Magic JBM. My buddy John Midgley is a magician. And he posts a lot of magic stuff on his page on Facebook, Magic JBM. So please go like it. You like magic. I like magic. He loves magic. So please go support him. Just hit the like button, Magic JBM. Head over to Instagram. Check out my main man, Mark. He's got a page, Bear Boards and Tables. Bear like a grizzly. Bear Boards and Tables. He makes a lot of cool things out of wood. Keychains, knickknacks. He's made me some frames to hold my sports cards. He's a very talented man, very artistically inclined. So go to Instagram, check it out, Bear Boards and Tables, and you'll find a link to a Mercari store where he sells the stuff. If you don't see anything you like, let Mark know what you do want, and he can maybe he can hook you up. So again, Bear Boards and Tables on Instagram. Then last but certainly not least, my main man, Matt Harper. He's got a page on Instagram and TikTok, Matt Harper Art. He currently is not selling anything, so what he wants you to do is he wants you to go to his Laugh Fest show, the comedy festival that's happening here in Grand Rapids this week, the first week of March, first full week of March. He's got a show happening this Friday, March 8th, over at the Creston Brewery. It's called Karaoke. Comedians do a set, they do some jokey jokes, and then when they're done doing their jokey jokes, they sing a song. It's a whole lot of fun, everybody. So if you're interested in tickets, go to laughfestgr.org, March 8th, $15 tickets, Karaoke, Creston Brewery, you'll find it. All the proceeds go towards Gilda's Club of Grand Rapids, which helps people deal with grief and loss issues concerning cancer. So why wouldn't you do that? Karaoke. I will be there. I have got tickets, so I will see you guys there, hopefully. That's it, everybody. This was a longer podcast than normal, but that's good. We had Nathan Timmel on. Go check him out. Nathan Timmel, T-I-M-M-E-L, NathanTimmel.com. And go support him as well, too. Very funny guy. All right, I'm done. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. I will see you guys tomorrow for a Patreon. Or I will see you guys on Thursday for the next freebie. You guys are great. I love you. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys later. Have a good evening or good day or whatever. All right. Okay, bye.